awake. I hope we're excited to be in his house this morning. I hope we're here. My name is Ben. I'm the pastor here. If we haven't met, I'm excited you come and meet me. You can also, give me a hard time. I'm all for that, right? Right, church? All right, good deal. Just don't give my wife a hard time, because I'll hear about it, right? That's my job. Anyway, we are glad you're here this morning. It is Palm Sunday, and what we understand as Palm Sunday, it is a celebration of a coming a king into his kingdom, right? And it's not the way that they thought a king would enter, right? And what's amazing about this, if you don't know this story, is that Jesus entered Jerusalem during this time on a donkey. Not a steed, not a horse, not on a throne, not on a on wasn't a grandstand. It was something of humble, right? But there was a party, and there was an excitement, and it was awesome. And we're gonna talk about that in that time, right? And this is also filling a prophecy. This is somebody had said way long before, hey, this is how our King, our Savior, our Messiah is going to enter. And Jesus knew this scripture and understood this scripture, and it was like, all right, there's a colt that's going to be waiting for us. There's a donkey that's going to be tied and ready for us, and we're going to ride that thing into town. Right? I want us to read through that real quick and what that looks like. Maybe. Right. All right. So Jesus enters the King. And what we think about king and what we think about like a presidency and what we think about those things is they're above us. For instance, when a pope, during my children, when I was a kid, when they enter a town, he had the Pope Mobile. Anybody know the Pope Mobile? Right? It's this like weird little bubble. And everybody can see him, and he's safe in this car, but you can see him, and it's just, you don't know how it's being driven. You just see the Pope all suddenly floating through town, right? And everybody is focused on that. And it just brings everybody, right? And the presidency, right? When a president comes to town, it makes the town stop in that moment, right? Good for bad, who knows? We're not going to talk about that, right? But this is the same. The King of Jerusalem would come in and enter the king, the Jerusalem during this time of Passover, and just be, it was almost to say, hey, this Passover is not about Messiah. I'm your Messiah. Worship me. I'm the one. And he would come on everything. And they would, like, it was, let's spare no expense at the moment of the king coming in, right? And let's make sure it's about me. And they would even pay people to be in the crowd and cheer on the king during this time. Okay? Which would be exciting. And then you have Jesus entering, and it looks completely different. And what I would love to know is how the word got out, hey, Jesus is coming. We've heard of Jesus. We've known about Jesus. He's going to be our king. And this hope of people that he was going to flip upside down the rule and the reign during this time. The people of God were not in power. They wanted to be in power. Right? They wanted everything to be switched around. They wanted the government to be overthrown. They wanted freedom, right? And they were hoping for a Messiah to come in and change all that. And so they have Jesus coming in, and they're thinking as he's coming in, he's going to turn everything around. And what does he ride into town on? A donkey. Right? It's not firecrackers. It's not this giant horse. He's not being held up by people on a platform, and no, he comes in on a donkey. All right, let's read this real quick. As they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethesda, and on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, and with her colt by her. Untie them, bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them, and they were brought. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. First off, I want to, like, if you think about this, this is like the church leadership being told, hey, this is how we're going to approach throne. This is how we're going to plan some things. And as a church, many times the way we think we need to plan, Jesus comes in and distorts that, changes it, and flips it upside down on its head. Right? And what's awesome is the disciples didn't disagree with them. They didn't say, no, you should not ride on a donkey. You shouldn't do these things. They listened. They obeyed, and they did. Right? And I can guarantee as they went into town, they said this, hey, guess why? All of a sudden, the word started to spread. There's a king coming. It's our king. Right? He's coming to town. He's going to make his grand entrance. He's listening to the prophet. He's going to change things. Can you imagine, like, this just started changing, and it just started going house to house to house, right? They didn't have phones back then. They didn't have text messages. There was no Facebook post. They went and told each other, and they started grabbing the palms, and they started having cloaks. They started preparing for their way of, like, we are here to celebrate our king. So we have a very large crowd that spread the cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds there that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, this is awesome, Hosanna, son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest of heaven. All right, really quick, Hosanna. Hosanna, right? What is that? That's right. It also means in this moment, Savior. They were crying out for their Savior. Save us. Awesome. Think about that. Savior to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Savior in the highest of heavens. Man, what? Wow. Now, I want you to realize something here. Within a week, this same crowd that's celebrating their king, their Messiah, the one that's coming to change everything, is yelling a totally different story. The same one screaming Hosanna started shouting, crucify him. Let that sink in real quick. How easy it is for a crowd to transform from one supporting to one to murder. And how relative that is today. Right? The same crowd right here that's screaming for their Messiah, screaming for the help of their Maker and their Savior in this moment, the one that they think that will give them the power that they don't need to be under the thumb of the ruler of that time. Right? And they're screaming Hosanna. Now, we understand this in a totally different way. I hope. Because what kingdom has Jesus come in to our lives? The kingdom of our soul, the kingdom of our life, right? And the reality is this, once we understand that, once we get that Jesus owns this part of my life and he sits at the throne of my life and my decisions of who I am and what I am, and he defines everything I'm about, I want you to understand what it meant to be a Christian back then. A follower of the way is what they were called, and they were also called Christians. What that meant is they put the Christ name for their name. They put the identity of who they were before who they were. You understand? So it was Christian, Christ, follower, Ben Alexander. Because everything after Christ, follower, it doesn't have any power. It was everything that I stand for, everything that I live for, everything that I am in this moment is a Christ follower. Hosanna. In today's world, that's what it means. He comes in and he sits in this throne of my life and I cry out, Hosanna. Lives here, saves here, builds a firm foundation right here and changes everything. How I look at this world, how I perceive his love, how I love people the way that he has called me to love. Right? And I wonder if sometimes, even if in our own being, from day to day, from moment to moment, that we cry out Hosanna, and sometimes in the next moment, by our actions, by our thoughts, by how we live, we call out, crucify him. And what's wonderful about Jesus is he said yes to that. He said yes to the cross. He said yes to forgiving me of my sins, being spent on that cross in that moment. He is the replacement of all my transgressions from this point on. And I understand that. And I believe that. And it should transform me from this point on too. And my Hosanna should cry out more and more every day compared to crucifying him. The last thing I want to do, the last thing I would ever want to do to my Savior is to continue to pin him up on a cross with my actions, with my choices, with my thoughts. But he comes in and he says, willingly, I will do that because that's how much I love you. This is what the entrance into Jerusalem meant for him. You see, there's two different versions of people walking into this. And Jesus had the version of, I'm here to save your souls, not your place in this world. Because now you are not of this world. You get that? You understand that? Jesus gives us the keys to a different life. And we understand we are just visitors here, that we understand that we are given a new life in him. And it's freedom from sin here. It's freedom, and we have to continue to accept that. We have to continue to understand that, and we have to continue to shout, Hosanna in the highest. Right? God, save us. Not the way of this world, but the way of you. And what's also interesting is that if our king comes by a donkey, he humbled himself. Do you know what he calls us to do in this world? To humble ourselves. To love the world that he loves the world. Are you willing to do that this morning? Because it's ultimate sacrifice. It's laying your life down. It's saying, I will follow my Redeemer, my Savior. And in that means I lay all my wants and downs at the altar and I go, okay, I rise up understanding in this moment. I live for Jesus Christ. And before all things, before Ben Alexander takes a step today, I want Jesus Christ to take a step in my life and fuel me in how I live this. And I view the world through those lenses. I view the opportunities that he sets before me and how I can serve those that will punish me and turn and say, crucify me. But it is by the strength of Jesus Christ that I'm able to do this. It is not by my will. It is not by my ability. It is only through his strength. And I only boast in Jesus Christ. We only boast in Jesus Christ. We cry out, Hosanna, church. And my prayer this morning is we understand and we praise our Lord and our Maker and our Savior that we cry out more Hosanna than more than crucify him. Now, here's the part that will turn us a little bit. This is the part that will struggle us. Is what happens after the entrance? Where does he go? He goes to the temple, the church. And he sees what's going on, right? And Jesus entered Jerusalem, and the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. See, they didn't really know and understand who he was yet. They just saw him as a prophet. But they knew something big was happening. He enters, right? He enters the temple. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables and money changers and benches of the selling of doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. I don't think this was said in a moment of peace. I don't think there was a moment here he's like, this is a house of prayer. You're making a den of robbers. We're good, though. All right, we're okay. I think he was furious. And you can tell by the actions. He flipped the tables. He came in. He let them know who has authority in this place. And everybody, nobody stopped him. As you read this, nobody stopped him because they were all like, okay, all right. We've been doing this wrong. Are you going to say anything? No, I'm not. Let's just watch this. Okay, I will do this better. We shouldn't be selling. So what was going on? They were selling sacrifices. They had to sacrifice animals. They had to sacrifice things for their sins. And guess what they were doing? Right in the court, right where they entered the church, right? That would be me coming out there and saying, before you can come in, I need your $5. Right? We're paying admissions. It's okay. Do you want to know the Spirit of God? Well, put it right here. No! We're not going to do that. And that's what they were doing. And they got called out for it. I mean, he was upset. And they were not treating this as a place of holiness. They were not treating this a place sanctified and sacred in this moment. They were treating it for their own profit. They were treating it for their own selfish desires. And the leadership of the church was okay with it. Probably because they were getting a cutback. And Jesus comes in and says, this is a house of prayer, not for robbers, not a den of robbers. And I want you to understand, too, when he was a den of robbers, he wasn't calling out a specific group of people that are thieves. What he was calling out is the church people within those walls who are treating and mistreating the Spirit of God. They were robbing people of having a personal relationship with their Maker and their Redeemer. They were causing it to be difficult to be in this place to worship their Savior, to worship their Creator. They robbed them of that. And Jesus comes in with all authority as the King in this moment and says, this is my place. This is where I rule, and I turn it upside down, and I don't make it about you, what you are getting. I'm making it about my God, my Father, and you coming to be in His presence in this moment. And I want us to understand within that thought process and how we worship God this morning, man, there is things that God has told us, I don't want you to do that. It is about me when we step into this moment. And we must figure this out. We must be in prayer. We must be, before we make decisions, before the board makes decisions, our desire is to saturate all those things, all those decisions that we do, in prayer. We seek out God's guidance. We seek out God's understanding. We seek out who God wants us to be before everything else. You believe that? Because we better. Can you imagine if there's things in which Jesus comes in and we just watch and we hear and he starts going and rattling through things of like, listen, this is not who we are. This is who we are. Right? We better listen. And there's some things in which he talks about. The blind and lame came to the temple. I want you to understand, there's a lot of blind people spiritually. We better be ready for them to come here and love on them. There's a lot of lame spiritually people that are hurting and broken, and they are looking for authentic believers, authentic churches that understand that God is in control, and we better be ready for them. And what I mean by ready is loving and caring and graceful. We better be willing to open our arms up and embrace these people with God's love, mercy, and grace. Am I right? We better not turn them away. He goes on to say this, and he healed them. Okay, real quick. I've heard emails, I've seen people talk to me, yes, we have a lost generation. Yes, we have a lost people that are hurting. Do we still believe that God heals and he's in that business? And I would ask you, if we are in that business, man, there's instead of complaining about it, we should be agents. This world needs the love that we have received, the ones that we go, hey, Hosanna, save us. Believe it, we understand it. But man, do we really believe it and understand it when the world needs it and we go out and live in this world? Is it seen through our actions? Is it seen through how God is moving in us? Do we really have a firm foundation where people see us and they go, you're different? And not only that, I hear your testimony and I see you live out your testimony and you're different. You don't just speak it. You breathe it. You move with it. I want it. Does your God really heal? We live in a broken world and things haven't really changed. They're just highlighted more right now. But we live in a broken world, and that we have broken people all around us. And the problem is we understand we have been healed, and we cry out, Hosanna, and we believe that. Man, it needs to be seen out there in this world that we believe that. We need to be voicing how much Hosanna has saved us. Our lives should be one of palms, just laying down before and allowing God, Christ to walk on. And go, hey, this is who we lift up. This is our Savior, the one that has forgiven you, the one that has loved you, the one that has sacrificed for you, right? We cry out, Hosanna. We change. We're changed. We're changed people, and we go out and live that changed life in this world. We don't just reside within the walls of this building and go, God is good. I can scream it here, right? God is good. Man, the life when we live out there, man, they need to hear how good God is. They need to hear how you have transformed and how your actions have been transformed because of your Creator and Maker, your Savior. They need to see it and believe it in you. You need to be walking and talking Hosannas today, tomorrow, every day. As you work, as you're frustrated, as you're treated wrong, right? Because what was our Hosanna treated as? Within this same week, he's crucified and he's put on a cross as trial and with the two thieves that belonged up there. Do you understand that? And he did no wrong. And even at that time knew he did no wrong. And he put all the onus on church people of that time, our Savior. Do you understand that? And how easy it is to turn just as the wind blows. But when we have a firm foundation in Jesus Christ, guess what starts to happen? When the winds start to blow and the storms of life start to happen, we have a firm foundation that's based in Jesus Christ alone, and every step that we take when life comes crumbling down, we know Christ bigger than all those things. And through him, we can do it. We can make it. We got this. And even the things in which we've done in the past are no longer held against us. Some of us probably need to hear that this morning. The faults of our past, the sins of which we've done, if you ask Jesus Christ to be in your life, if you ask him to forgive of those, guess what happens? It is wiped clean. It is not held against you anymore. Hosanna! Right? Save us from this. Be the king within my life. Walk in there. Change it. Mold it. Make it new. And guess what will happen? It makes it new. It makes it fresh. And you are no longer bound by what happened in the past. This world will come and remind you of it, but our Redeemer does not. He doesn't. He is our Hosanna. He is our Savior, and we believe that. And that's the hope this morning, is that we believe that. And this is the other action of it. If we truly believe that, man, we cannot hold that inside. That cannot just be something that is a private between me and my maker and my creator. And I walk out in this world and I don't want to bump shoulders with people. I'm changed. Do you know what he wants? He wants you to have a faith that walks out and be in places that you know that you have failed and show that through Jesus Christ, a new being stands before you today. What I was and who I was, this is what I own. And maybe I need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe I need to ask you to go, hey, the Ben that you knew before is not the Ben that stands before you. I am Christ follower Ben now. And in that, he has changed me, redeemed me, made a new life in me. And the person that I was is no longer the person that I want to be because of what Christ has done in me. And every day is a day that is a struggle and a fight to continue to allow Christ to sit upon the throne of life. It's not a one and done. It's not just a moment, I did it and I said Hosanna this day and it felt really good, and then tomorrow the same issue is still there. This is the difference. We take Jesus with us through those issues, through those problems, through the things which we need his foundation to help us get through those. And you understand, church, we come together to live this out together and lift each other up. We don't tear each other down. We come together and go, listen, I see how you're living in your life, and I want you to know there is a better way because God loves you. And the more that you start to walk away from your Redeemer, in that moment that was a Hosanna moment, that moment that you understood Jesus is your Savior, the moment that you start to say, you know what, the life of sin is so enticing, and I my actions and everything about me starts to say, crucify him. I want you to understand in this moment, this is how much grace and how much mercy our Redeemer has. Because he's still willing to show us love. He's never going to give up on you. People in your life may have given up on you. People in your world may have given up on you. But our Savior, Jesus Christ, will never, ever give up on you. The story of the there is always hope. I want you to understand this. And they're all three of them are up on the cross. And one's saying, you have a chance. You call yourself the Savior and you do amazing things. I've heard the stories. Why don't you just say, let me down and judge all these that deserve judgment? Well, the other one, and I want you to know, this was mocking. This was a thief up there who deserved this punishment, mocking Jesus Christ. While the other one's like, hey, I know I deserve what I get. If you're real, Jesus, if you're really the Messiah, can I join you? And Jesus, you will know the kingdom of God from this day forward. This guy never went to a Bible study, never went and did anything that he didn't understand justification through faith. He didn't know these things. He didn't know and understand these things. He was just saved because guess what? Jesus invited him into the kingdom and he said yes. Hosanna. It is never going to be too late, is what I'm saying there. It is never going to be too late, but I would implore you, don't wait on that. Don't wait till the last second that you're taking your last breath and like, well, I know I've lived a really rough life and I was waiting for this last second that I can be, okay, Lord, please forgive me. Don't do that. Because the reality is this. You've been invited to be a part of what God has created this world. To look at it in a different way, to understand it in a hopeful way, to understand it in a way that he is wanting you to be a participant of. He wants to give you a purpose to wake up tomorrow. He wants to fill your life with hope. He wants to fill your life with some reason to get up and go, okay, I live for him. His kingdom rules here. And I know in this world where there's a bunch of chaos, my God is bigger than those things. And I have a place in this world to share the light that he shines upon these people so they know that there's more hope than what they live in right now. That you can bring Jesus forgiveness. You can bring Jesus salvation to people. Do you believe that? That should give you purpose. That should give you new understanding. And you are no longer limited by the iniquities that you are part of, because our God can use any of us. Trust me, I stand before you today knowing that God can use me in this place and use a person that who I am, because it's not by my abilities, it is only through Jesus Christ that I stand here right now and share his message. Same is true this morning. Whatever doubt you have, guess what? God is bigger. And he can still use you as you doubt. He honestly can. Are you willing to allow him to use you? Hosanna. Right? So he enters the temple and he says these words. And then they say to him, but when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple courts, which I want to think about this, how awesome. I have preached through a couple Sundays where we have group over here, Hope kids come, and there's moments where like they just randomly, woo, right? And I want you to know, there are moments where like, okay, can I focus this morning, right? But God is so big, I would never want them not to be here. And the same goes for our kids. If they're running up and down our walls, if they're running in here, guess what? They are joyful, and some of us need to know, hey, I need that joy in me today. If you're first real, how dare them? Don't they know this is sacred? I want you to know, it is not running that makes this not sacred. The only thing that makes this sacred in this moment, first and foremost, is not our actions. It is only God that makes this sacred. We are too prideful sometimes that we think our actions can determine whether or not this is sacred. We come to meet Jesus Christ this morning. We come to be in the presence of God this morning. And guess what makes that sacred? Nothing that we do, only God makes that sacred. And if we think we can make that unsacred, woo, forgive us, Lord, because he's bigger than us. And I honestly believe he wants to hear our little kids cry out. He wants to hear their joy. He wants to know what's going on. In reality, too, guess what? You are called the children of God, too. And guess what he wants you to be? Crying out to him. Letting him know you are our maker and our redeemer and our forgiver. And I found life in you. And guess what I'm screaming this morning? Hosanna! Right? Man, that doesn't make it not sacred. In fact, that makes it more sacred because we understand God has moved in our lives and he's moving this morning, and it is through God that we are able to move and yell Hosanna. Man, we cannot be like the righteous men in this moment who are indignant. I had to look up that word, indignant. This doesn't even sound appealing, does it? I was indignant today. Go get that fixed. Right? They were upset. They were frustrated. Guess why? Because it wasn't about them. They saw all these things going on in their church, in their temple. Yes, their church and their temple, not God's, in that moment. And they were upset the tables were overturned. They were upset that Jesus was speaking and changing lives in this moment. And the blind were being healed and the lame were being healed. And all of a sudden the kids were like, man, this is our Messiah. This is our Messiah giving praise in this moment. And they're like, not in my church. Have you ever heard those words come out of anybody's mouth? Not in my church. That would never happen. right? Be careful. Be careful. Because first off, this is God's church, not our church. We are part of it. He's our body. He's one that is, it. No matter why we come this morning, we come because of him. All right? Corinthians has something to say about this. All right? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 says this. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Ooh, this changes everything now. It's not just this moment that we come here to be sacred. It's our bodies that are, now Jesus comes in. And guess what? I think within our own hearts and our souls, I think there's tables that need to be tossed and turned this morning. I think God wants to come in and say, all right, I am tired of you being so holy, holier than thou. I'm tired of you having this righteous attitude. I am tired of you thinking that you don't need me in your life. Guess what? I'm here to heal you of that. I'm here to redeem you of that. I'm here to show you that I am bigger than the worries and concerns of your life. I'm here to show you that the sin, the bondage of sin, has no rule over you anymore. Our bodies are a temple to our Savior. Are we laying down the palms and screaming, Hosanna? Save us. Sit at the throne of my life. Be my king today. Be my king tomorrow. And what that means is if I'm allowing him to be my king, he's turning this kingdom, and I live for him. I am a servant for him, which means I'm a servant for you. I am humble. I am gentle. I'm kind. I'm inviting. I'm caring. I'm forgiving. You see, he flips the kingdom upside down. We don't come here to serve the way that the world says as a king, which is praise me, right? Our Jesus came to serve as a servant. If you remember the Last Supper, and he's with his disciples, and they were preparing for a meal, and usually as you prepare for a meal, you wash up, and what that also meant is you had a bowl for your feet and a towel for your feet, and you usually would have a servant, or you just do it yourself, and you'd wash your feet from the day, walk the day of doing all those things, because they had sandals, they had dirt roads, they would just be caked in dirt, and they would want to clean up before dinner. Do you know who got down on his knees? The Savior and Maker, the God himself before us, was on his knees and washed his disciples' feet. When he sits at our throne, guess what he calls us to live a life like? On our knees for each other. Washing off the day's grime and frustration. And sometimes that means, guess what? You get to hear all the anger and the frustration of that person. And what are you? You're not convicting. You're not the one that's like trying to fix it. You're the one going, okay, God, I love you. I embrace you. And in that, you're showing them that Jesus is bigger than all these things. Jesus is the one that redeems them all these things. And he comes in and does his work in their lives. But church, we are called to serve as Jesus served. We lay our lives down and we live for him. That is what we are called. Remember, we have two choices in this relationship as a church and even as an individual to say, Hosanna or crucify him. And how easy it can flip back and forth. My hope for us, church, is that we continue to move forward and we continue to make steps that are saying, with this step today, I give you praise. I know it is only through your strength and your ability that I can love people, that I can be kind to people, that I can be your grace and your mercy. It is only through you that I can forgive people. And give me that strength. Give me that power. In the moments that I hold back, guess what starts to happen? I believe that I am better than you in this moment, Jesus. I don't want you to have them rule and reign. And he's willing to sacrifice all over for me. He's willing to continue to do his work in my life in those areas that need to be worked. He's still building that foundation in your life and letting you know you can trust me today. Storms hit, he's bigger than it. Lord, we turn to you this morning. Lord, we believe that you're bigger than the issues that we deal with, that you are the one that we cry. Lord, I pray that this morning that we are laying down the palms to the throne of our lives. And as you enter this temple of our life, if there's things that need to be removed, if there's things that need to be changed, I pray that we say yes to you. That we acknowledge that you're the king of our life. That we're not just a one show with you, that we truly believe that you're our Messiah, our Savior, our Redeemer, the one who took all our sins upon the cross, and we are no longer bound to them. Lord, this morning, I pray that we believe that, we understand that, and we cry out, Hosanna, this morning, save us. Lord, I pray the rest of this week that we can understand that we focus on that, and we believe it. Lord, today, may we step out into this world with hope and passion because you are sitting at the throne of our life and we believe you and we can go out there and change a world because of you. May they see your light in us. Lord, I pray that we are a church that's inviting to the lost, the blind, the hopeless, the ones that need your healing touch. May they come in and be welcomed and loved and embraced. May your kids be welcomed, loved, and embraced. May we not be focused on the things that are not of your making, but may we be focused on you that makes everything sacred because you are in charge. Help us have our eyes focused on the cross this week. May that be a real moment for us to understand and be a part of. God, we lay our lives down, and may we be Christ followers from this point on. We give you all the praise this morning. Amen. Before you're dismissed, next Sunday is Easter. It's an awesome time for us, but we understand Easter as something as, it's not just a Sunday thing, it is an everyday thing that we believe that Jesus Christ is risen, and he's risen and he's alive, right? Next Sunday, we start our services at 7:30. We have a sunrise service. Yeah, the sun will already be up, but we have it at 7:30 for us, right? And then we have breakfast at 8:30. Now, this is the other one, 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, we're having service. Not 10:30. 10 o'clock. So when you're inviting your friends, and you're inviting family, you're inviting anybody next Sunday, even you, set it right now on your phone, 10 o'clock service Sunday, all right? So come with a stomach that's empty so you can have some good breakfast at 8:30, all right? And the 7:30 is just a nice, intimate service of just reading scripture, singing songs, and being prepping us for 10 o'clock, really, all right? But be ready to have Easter. And then we have an egg hunt right after service. And I implore you, you know, if you don't have any kids and you're beyond that or whatever, you know, what's awesome is just being there and cheering them on, letting them know, hey, we love you. Good job at finding those eggs. Enjoy that candy. I wish we had some, right? That we are a church that understands we are not just ourselves in this moment. We're a full body of believers, all right? And that includes our kids, our teens, our senior adults, our families. Everybody is valued here because of what God has done in our lives, right, church? Stand with me. Go knowing today that God loves you so much that he sent his son personally for you, right? And may your life live out of the thought process as Hosanna, God save us this week. You're dismissed.